This is Shanna Ederer. Today is November 3rd, 2016. I am a graduate student at UW-Madison. I am interviewing Crystal C. Kern. This interview is taking place at the 2016 Society of American Foresters National Convention in Madison, Wisconsin, at the Monona Terrace Convention Center. This interview is sponsored by the Society of American Foresters and the University of Wisconsin Oral History Program, and is part of the SAF Oral History Project. Could you please say your name and spell your last name?
My name is Crystal Kern. Kern is spelled K-E-R-N.
To start off, could you tell me the story of how you came to be a forester?
Okay. Well, it probably starts with my interest as a child of spending time with my father, who enjoyed hunting and fishing. So I enjoyed being outdoors and what nature had to offer. As I got older and learned more about environmental issues, I became more interested in resource conservation. And I had an uncle who worked for the Wisconsin DNR, and he was doing habitat restoration along streams, and I found that very interesting and thought with my interest to be outdoors and my interest in environmental issues and conservation that a career in natural resource management would be interesting to me. So I went to the University of Wisconsin, Stevens Point, to pursue that. At age 18, I was unclear if I wanted to be in waters, soils, wildlife, forestry. There was too many choices at 18, so I enrolled in the biology department because I felt I had more flexibility there. And what I ended up doing was still taking a lot of natural resource classes. Shortly after I finished my degree, I was unemployed for a bit. And what I learned was having a biology degree did have a lot of flexibility and not enough grit to get a natural resources job. So I enrolled in a master's program at UWSP as well, and I worked with the U.S. Forest Service. And it was during that experience in grad school where I really fell in love with silviculture and forestry and really saw that match my interests. During my time at UW Stevens Point as an undergrad, I also had worked for the Forest Service, so I started an interest in that the agency as well. So that led to one thing after another, and I've been working in forestry and for the Forest Service since.
Could you tell me a little bit about your career as a forester?
Mm-hmm. So my job is a research forester, so I work on the science end of things. As an undergrad, this meant I started on a technician crew where I collected data in the field for a scientist on different research studies in wildlife, silviculture, soils, and so forth. After I finished my master's degree, I was qualified for a professional support staff position, which means I'm more in charge of those field crews, so I was hiring the college students to come out and do that. I would go out myself as well, but then I also had a full-time position where in winter I would do data analysis, report writing, and presentations in collaboration with a scientist. And then there were some opportunities through my office to go back to school. We had a number of retirements. So after working for a while, I went back to school and got a PhD, which then allowed me to work as a scientist. So now I work as a scientist where I have professional support and technicians working with me. And so my work is in the area of silviculture and forest ecology. And I would say my position is similar to a university professor, other than I don't teach and I don't have grad students, but I'm required to do research publications and go to conferences like the one we're at this week.
How have you been involved with the Society of American Foresters?
My involvement's been minimal. I've been a member since I worked on my master's degree, so maybe about 10 years or so I've been a member. So I do pay attention to the publications and read like the forest resource. I enjoy reading the newspaper and the Journal of Forestry. When I was in Washington State for a couple years, I did do a little bit of leadership for the society. I worked as the chapter's educational coordinator or something like that, and worked with some tours for school kids in the area. When I was in Minnesota, I tried to attend some local meetings. I've been in Wisconsin about a year right now, and I haven't connected with my local group or where those meetings are, so I still need to connect on that. And otherwise, this is only my second national conference that I've been to. And at this point, as a scientist, I contribute to the journals as well with research findings.
This project was developed to understand people's perceptions of diversity and inclusion in the forestry profession. How has your ethnicity or cultural background or gender influenced your career as a forester?
I guess I feel like that hasn't been, I feel like I haven't come into this profession with a label on me. So I feel like I've been putting forth my best work and my best person that I can be for what I know. I do see, as I get more senior or have more time spent in my position, I do see people starting to get labels on them, and I'm not sure if that's just because I'm older and I can see things more, or if it's because higher up in the organizations or within a profession, there's more competition and pushback between people. I guess I would add the only thing personally is that perhaps because of gender, ethnicity, any whatever label we want to put of how we're cultured, that I've maybe not been as confident or expressed myself in the past, where now I'm more confident and sure of myself, but I may have not done that in the past because I wasn't like the rest of the group that I was working with, because I, as a woman, I was certainly one of the few in numerous times in my career at a meeting or in a research team and so forth.
What are your thoughts about diversity and inclusion in the forestry profession in general? So maybe what does diversity mean to you, for example?
Mm-hmm. Most broadly to me, it means having different personality types, people who take in information differently, people who organize and make decisions differently, so we can have a wide range of perspectives. And I, from what I understand, that's not easy to do. We all don't know our Myers-Briggs type or so forth, so it's easier to use the labels of gender, ethnicity, et cetera, some kind of demographic label, because there is such strong trends between having that label and how you may have been cultured to come into this world because of that. So saying that, based on those labels of what I've seen, that I would say forestry in general still remains to be, it could improve its diversity.
Mm-hmm. Is the forestry profession welcoming to new ideas or new people?
I would say it depends where you are. So as there's different niches within forestry, you're going to find more open-minded people to new ideas, maybe on more contemporary ideas of... I can't think of a good example in law, but maybe something like ecological forestry is a new thing, and so you might attract a very different group of people than kind of our conventional forestry that's been happening since 1910. So there's a strong contingent that doesn't like to change things, and so that also may attract less diversity because of that.
What role can the Society of American Foresters play in enhancing diversity and inclusion?
I think the Society could play a big role. And I think it comes down to, because all of this means individuals need to be aware of bringing in these underrepresented groups, underrepresented personality types into the organization. So it means a matter of those people understanding that. And I feel because so many of us have had our privileges to be where we're at, that we sometimes forget what it means to have all these privileges. And if we're not conscious of that, we can't reach out to other people. So I guess the society could do more with education and helping individuals understand the role they can play at really one-to-one personal relationships.
Are any of these issues things that directly affect your day-to-day work as a scientist for the Forest Service, or ideas that you're interested in connecting to at some point in the future?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I am a part of a small group of folks at the Northern Research Station where we're trying to use science to influence what we're calling cultural transformation in our workplaces. So because I'm a research forester, I study silviculture, tree regeneration, et cetera, et cetera. But I have the skill set to be a scientist and look at social sciences as well. So I'm a part of a group that's trying to understand that literature. And to me, it's been mind-blowing to see how well all this phenomena is documented and how much we aren't aware of that. There's a good knowledge base, and then it's still expanding. So for my workplace, I am actively involved in trying to understand that science and make other people in my organization aware of that, and to approach it more like a adaptive management approach where we collect some data on ourselves, what are the perceptions and what is the experience for others in my workplace based on the literature. There's going to be some theories on how that all works out based on our organization. We could lay out some ideas, run with them after so many years if we're off mark, do a course correction, try it again, and just keep coming at it from a data perspective and science perspective.
So as a scientist, you're really interested in using scientific tools?
Yes.
To bring change in the culture,
yep,
of the profession?
Yes, and I would say one of my favorite areas of science is bridging the knowledge practice gap. And I think of that always in terms of silviculture being a very applied science. But to me, that matches perfectly well with my workplace as well. There's a whole science behind this, and we can practice this in our workplace too.
So it sounds like with your current employer, there's actually institutional support for this kind of work.
It's grassroots, I would say. But we've made our leadership is aware of it. I was just invited last week to a different group, the Pacific Northwest Research Station, Pacific Southwest Research Station leadership. They had other speakers as well, but it's something of interest to leaders in my organization. So that it's still yet to make that larger scale, but it's an ongoing discussion right now.
Mm-hmm. So is this something that you could imagine perhaps scaling up at a regional or national scale at some point in the future?
Yep, I think if it got traction, if leaders buy into this and implement it, it could definitely go a larger scale.
Mm-hmm. That actually segues nicely into our next question. Where do you see the profession of forestry going in the next 20 years?
I would say that's a big question to my mind. I'm pausing because my mind's going all over the place, from droughts to invasive species, disease. I have a very doom and gloom look in my mind at the moment and how it's only more powerful for us to have a diverse, you know, fleet of people working on this. So in my mind, forestry is one of the best professions, and this makes it even more important considering all the different ecosystem services and products that we expect from our forest to have a variety of ways people are thinking about this, a diverse group of people.
So you really see a connection between the need for a diverse workforce and the needs that we have for ecosystem services in the future?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Could you tell me a little bit more about that?
I guess I'm just more broadly thinking, you know, that there's never one way to solve a problem. And given that we have unprecedented conditions occurring as we're speaking, that the more people we have thinking about this and engaged, the better off we are.
So if you think out to a longer time scale, mm-hmm. like maybe the next 100 years,
mm-hmm.
Where do you see forestry going over that time interval?
Mm-hmm. Well, I sure hope we still have forestry and we don't have some special technology that skips over the use of trees. And if we did, I hope we still can value all the other great things about forests besides their products. In 100 years, I would hope our urban communities still value our forests for what they are and understand the services they receive. I think I feel like I'm rambling. What was your question again?
No, you're right on target.
Okay.
I have been instructed to reel people in if they ramble,
okay.
But you're not there.
Okay.
How has the profession of forestry changed throughout your career? I mean, are there any specific events that may have impacted or changed forestry during the course of your career?
Okay. Well, my career started as a seasonal intern 20-some years ago. Now I'm a full-time professional. I guess, without having too much time to think about it, things like the big fires out west having a big impact. Just in the news and hearing family members who do nothing with natural resources talking about it, so that becoming, you know, something common in everyday citizens to know about and talk about. Related to that, the budgets for the Forest Service would be something that directly I've seen affect the groups that I work for. So the borrowing, going out for the fire, it's not really even borrowing, it's just taking to cover all the expenses of the fires out west, and that having some implications for other groups like research and other happenings on our national forests during those times. I think climate change in general, just the topic of it being going from a question mark to being real with documented data behind it, and numerous scientists coming together to support that notion, which scientists don't, they like to have their own ideas, so I think that's impactful if so many scientists across the globe come together and say this is real.
What has been the most rewarding aspect or aspects of your career?
The most rewarding part for me is to know that I am contributing to sustainable forests. So what I do is important, and it contributes to a bunch of people doing important things, and that means a sustained forest for my kids and their kids. So that's my really big picture. But on a day-to-day basis, I really enjoy tasks of working on the science practice gap, where I get to go out with practitioners and talk to them about the science coming out and what it could mean for them, and interacting with them and trying to bridge that gap. That for me, because it means that I'm providing knowledge that matters to people who work in forestry.
What have been the biggest challenges in your career?
I think the biggest challenge is feel overall fortunate for all of my opportunities And I've had, looking from the outside looking in, a very linear career trajectory, even though along that path I didn't always know what the next step was going to be. But I guess when it was available, I knew that was the right thing to do. So being that I feel like I don't have any like glass ceilings or things like that happen, I would say some of the challenges, maybe some of the day-to-day personnel interactions that I'm not always sure how to handle. So I would say I haven't had any major challenges, just maybe sometimes some of the smaller scale interpersonnel.
Can you think of a specific person that helped you along the way? And maybe tell us a little bit about how they helped you.
Mm-hmm. Well, I can think of several people that have been great to have along the way. One is just the first person who hired me, Dion Donner. At the time, again, as I was describing, of 18, 19, pretty young, just looking for some opportunities to try some things out. And so I felt like she took a chance on me when I had zero experience. And so I had my first field experience. I was very impressed with her and how she conducted herself, had high expectations. And I just appreciated working for someone like that. And having a female supervisor was also impressed on me. She was having kids. She had a very supportive husband. She had this awesome job in wildlife working for the Forest Service that it really left a good impression on me. I also had, when I went back to school for my master's degree, I worked with Mark Coleman. He now is with the University of Idaho, but he was incredibly supportive and just never had a doubt that I would finish my master's degree and go on to do good things, and he continues to be a big supporter of me. And then I would say even more contemporary, meeting some peers like Laura Kennefick, who's really insightful. So in these current times when I'm trying to figure out, you know, different grant proposals and networking on collaborations, having a peer to talk to, and again trying to figure out how all these relationships work and how to approach them, it's been wonderful to have someone like that to bounce off ideas.
What advice would you give to a student or a new forester just starting off?
I would suggest that they be open-minded to there's so many different possibilities in forestry. I think when I was 18, looking at the College of Natural Resources at UWSP, when I saw the word forestry, I kind of thought it was just one way or the highway kind of thing. I didn't realize how much flexibility and variability there was in forestry. I was too young at that time to know, because I didn't really know a lot about the profession. And so I would just say, be open to learn a lot of different things. And if you feel to go in these different areas of forestry so we can become more diverse and have people working across this wide spectrum of issues, that's great. Also to reach out to others and bring them in to address these issues. So if someone's not sure, you know, inform them of what forestry is and how diverse and discipline that we need, and we need a wide range of people to work with us.
So to finish up, we have kind of two final questions. And the first is just some basic demographic information. What year were you born?
1974.
What gender do you identify as?
Female.
What is your ethnic, racial, or cultural background?
Caucasian.
And would you like to add anything about forestry, the Society of American Foresters, or diversity that we didn't cover?
No, thank you.
Okay, thank you very much.
Yep, thank you.